It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
If that game is closer than 20 points, I'll wear a cowboy outfit to the next home game at Lavelle Stadium in the press box.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. That was the voice of Matt Biamonte back in May when we had Matt on the program and we rolled out what this Wyoming game was going to look like. And I don't even know why we were talking about it in May. That's how desperate we are in the postseason to talk about football, right? Is that we're going, hey, Matt, break down that Wyoming game for us. And then we look at each other and go, I don't know. Is that what we're doing?
Well, we were probably breaking down the whole schedule.
Yes.
And,
yes. You know. And then Matt rolled out that little tidbit, which is if BYU loses then or wins by less than 20 points, he would wear a cowboy outfit into the press box. Matt, for the sake of being professional, I don't want to like get you in trouble with BYU because you'll get looked at weird if you show up to the press box looking like that. So what is the actual plan to go through with the bet and still stay professional?
Well, I have a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That's making it in. So I'm going to wear jeans. I'm going to wear, I'm going to wear a plaid shirt, tuck it in, wear my biggest belt and the hat. I was thinking about growing a mustache, but I can't grow facial hair fast enough. So that's not going to make the cut, but I think I'll be close enough to paying it off.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah. No, I think
just grow the facial hair as far as you can go.
Just get a splotchy
facial hair.
That scraggly peach fuzz
situation.
It's too late.
I've shaved this morning, right. So I have nothing.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
All right. We'll accept it. As long as you walk in, you've got to carry the hat around, and you have to say howdy to at least 10 people. Okay?
I'm wearing the hat all day. I do my post-game video with Mitch, I'm wearing the hat.
That's good.
You have to. Here's the thing, though. You got to own it, man.
Yeah, you do have to. Yeah. You have to put up with the bet, and that's about it. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that Wyoming game, and your thoughts on how that thing turned out. I think it felt real. It was kind of out of step. It felt inconsistent. I know that a lot of the officiating was weird. But on top of it, it just didn't feel like BYU's been clicking on all cylinders, and that's kind of what Kalani Sitake said this week, too. He really hasn't seen a totally put-together team yet this year.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Maybe the South Florida game's the most complete game they've played, but the first half was a lot of what we saw in Baylor and Oregon, where they could not run the ball, and they had a hard time stopping the run. And then in the second half, it was really good BYU football. I thought they ran the ball well. They stopped the run well, and then they had explosive plays too, which was something that had been lacking in especially the Baylor game or the Oregon game and a little bit in the Baylor game, just the chunk plays. They have that long touchdown pass to Ikonu Hill. They have that long run from Miles Davis. So that second half of football was very good. Defensively, I still think the one area of concern I have besides the run defense is – why aren't they creating more turnovers? It's just there's been opportunities to create them, and they haven't recovered fumbles on muff punts. There haven't even been a lot of opportunities for interceptions. So I am talking about the lack of turnovers. But the second half was encouraging, and if that's how they can play against Utah State, then it will be a very comfortable win. I'm not going to put a number. No bets on this one. No numbers, no bets. But Utah State is not playing well right now, so BYU should win comfortably. But yeah, I do think they're still searching for that complete game, if there's such a thing. But they haven't been anywhere near it the past couple weeks.
Come on, Matt. Double or nothing. You have confidence. Another cowboy hat.
No
costume.
God, you cannot make me do it. I don't even know what I would wear dress up as if I.
Yeah. No, at that point you have to throw in some
suspenders and no shirt.
Yeah, at that point you have to bring a baby cow into the booth. You have to have some chewing tobacco to just make the whole thing go together. Just see the full thing.
I'm curious. I want to go back a little bit. I don't think we had an opportunity to talk to you about Dallin Hoker. And him transferring. Well, I was just curious to get your thoughts on why do you think that happened, and what do you think the impact of that is?
If I had to speculate, and I love to speculate, so I will. I mean, he talked with KSL Sports. He was texting Mitch, and he gave some clues as to why. But I think the reason he's leaving BYU is he doesn't like his role. He's number two, and even number one, Isaac Rex. I mean, he's been the starting tight end now for 3 years. He's not getting that many targets, that many receptions, especially the past 2 years. His total numbers are below 25 catches in the past 2 years. So even the number one tight end for BYU right now is not being featured. Now, I think there's a pro and a con to that. The pro is Jaren Hall is distributing the football to everybody, and the wide receivers, it's really balanced. And I think it's really hard to defend because he's not targeting one guy double-digit targets every game. So you can't necessarily key on everyone. And that's why you're seeing Chase Roberts' big game against Baylor, against Wyoming. It was Keanu Hill. Braden Cosper's had some nice moments. So I think it's really hard to defend because they're really balanced. But it makes it hard for the second-string wide receiver or the second-string tight end to feel like they're a useful part of the offense because they're only getting targeted three, maybe four times a game. And I think Dallin just felt like Isaac Rex is still tight end number one. And in the past couple of weeks, too, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's been a lot more three wide receiver sets with Cosper, Roberts, and Keanu Hill, even with, and throw Puka in there, and Gunner's coming back. So they're not even using two tight ends as much as maybe we thought they would. So he's not getting a lot of snaps, not getting a lot of targets, and probably felt like this isn't the role I signed up for, and it's not going to showcase my skills, so I have to go somewhere where I can. And that's the part I disagree with a little bit, Scott, because you don't have to have gaudy numbers to make it to the league. A lot of times, guys who just test well and don't have great numbers end up getting drafted. There's stories of quarterbacks who like rarely even play and get drafted. I'm thinking of Matt Castle from a while ago, but you can make it to the league without having big numbers, but it's hard to fault a kid for wanting a bigger role and wanting to play more. So that's what I think it ultimately was.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jaren Hall having a career day for him last week, and it still felt like BYU hasn't hit on all cylinders. Feels like he kind of is, though. And certainly every week he's been facilitating guys like Keanu Hill, guys like Braden Cosper, guys like Chase Roberts, and all those guys are going to be playing. And then add in Gunnar Romney. What does a weekend like this look like with Utah State? They are not very good at defending the run game. So maybe this is one of those that BYU can get some confidence and push some guys around, or do you want to see another 300-plus type day for Jaren Hall and his wide receiver group?
I would always love to see a 300-passing-yard day for a BYU quarterback because that's what BYU football is. But this is a great opportunity to get the run game going. And BYU, it is crazy how many quarterback injuries they've had against this team in the past 10 years. You're talking Taysom Hill multiple times, Jaren Hall, Baylor Romney. I mean, the list is long. And so with that knowledge and with the opportunity to maybe get the run game going, I would lean so heavy into the run. I don't want Jaren Hall throwing it more than 20 times. And if things go the way that maybe they could go, you're playing Jacob Conover in the second half. So I would, with Utah State not being a good run team, and even though the run game appeared to bounce back last week, if you take out that 70-yard run, it's just an okay running game against Wyoming. It wasn't anything special. So I would use this opportunity to try and just pound the rock. And now with Miles Davis emerging, you've got three guys. Get them all 10 carries. If you can get double-digit carries for all three of them so they all feel like they're a part of the offense and maybe keep Jaren Hall healthy in the process, that's what I would do. I would just run the rock.
So Utah State, they're doing terrible right now. I mean, they're not playing good. And you're talking about getting Jacob Conover in the game in the second.
I've heard a couple people do that.
You have got to believe that BYU is going to win by at least three touchdowns.
You quit it.
You got to believe that, Matt.
Hey, I believe it. I'm just not predicting it. There's
what's the difference? Believe and predict is like, you know.
It's the same. Put your money where your mouth is, Matt.
Yeah, come on.
You got to dress up like a pioneer next year after the Utah State game.
Put a bonnet on you. A bonnet.
When Scott takes me to Valters to pay off last year's BYU Utah.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Oh, hey.
Was that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jeremy, pull that up, my friend.
I think we were all
Jeremy,
involved.
Dig through the archive.
I think Scott's taking everybody to Valters.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's how I'll be familiar with it if it includes us all. Yeah,
yes.
I'll look for it.
We're looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Kalani has mentioned that he doesn't think that BYU's played its best game this year. What does the best game look like? I mean, is he right in this? Well, what's the best game look like then?
He's frustrated.
What do they need to do better?
I wouldn't even think of it as a score thing. I think a best game for BYU would be 500 yards of offense, 200 of those at least coming on the ground. And then defensively, I think you would need to at least force two turnovers and have a third down percentage of sub 40%. So you're getting off the field. And if you were to do those things and hold your opponent to under 150 rushing, I think that'd be a perfect football game. You don't have to blow them out, but, you know, Jaren Hall's been playing great. Jaren Hall's been carrying the offense. I mean, they just have not had a running game since the South Florida game, and then they had a little bit against Wyoming. But if Jaren Hall hasn't been playing great football, I mean, his numbers are on par with Zach Wilson's year in 2020 in terms of completion percentage and touchdown-to-interception ratio. And some people think that might be one of the best individual seasons of quarterbacks played at BYU, and Jaren Hall's on pace for that. So he is playing outstanding football, but he hasn't had the complimentary run game, and then he hasn't had a defense that's been forcing turnovers and giving them extra possession. So that's what I think a perfect game would look like. But, you know, when you have an individual playing that well, you can overcome some of those things, and that's what we've seen.
I just take the lead from players when it comes to the topic of – you know, whether or not this game is important kind of going forward. And the players love the in-state rivalry. At least they say they do. They call it that. They call it an in-state rivalry. And I'm not going to say that Utah State is and BYU is the type of rivalry game that Utah is ever, right? But when this game goes away and I see other games on the schedule that Utah State could easily slide into and play that. Well, I want to see BYU sign up for a game against Southern Illinois yesterday. And Utah State's not going to be on the schedule for the foreseeable future. I get a little bit grumpy because I'm like, you shouldn't be playing that FCS game in place of a Utah State game going forward.
I'm with you 100%. It's just this is what college football is right now. Now, the thing that I think gives maybe some hope to that scenario is with the college football playoff officially expanding and there being six conference champion winners automatically getting in, I think we will start to see a little bit of a trend towards better non-conference games, which would open the door for more of a BYU-Utah State or a BYU-Boise State more often than we currently have. Like Kalani's been on the record saying, we're going to sign up for these games because, you know, that's what college football is right now. Well, if like Alabama and Ohio State can get rid of the FCS game and plug that in with another, it doesn't even have to be a Power 5 game, but it just plug that in with another game, then I think this could open it up. And the other thing, too, and I'd love to see this down the road, now that the playoff is in place, maybe all these conferences will eventually get on the same page in terms of number of conference games being played. And if everyone would play eight, I think there'd be more fun games that people would be willing to play, like this rivalry game, knowing that it's okay if we lose. We'll go to Logan. It's okay. Because if we win the Big 12, we're going to the college football playoff, and that's okay. So I'm hoping there's a little course correct towards this. But right now, it is. I'm with you, Alex. It's frustrating because my perfect BYU schedule would be eight Big 12 games, rotate Utah State and Boise State, get the Utah game in there, and then get a couple interesting games against Power 5 teams. You know, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy. But if they had a schedule of Utah State, Utah, Minnesota, and South Carolina, and then eight Big 12, that's awesome. And if everyone was doing that, I think the TV partners would love it because you'd have great non-conference games, and then everyone would play the same number of conference games. But we're a long ways away from that. But that's a long way of saying I wish this game was going to be played more frequently after this.
Another report came out about Amazon and some of these streaming services going after these bigger conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC and those conferences wanting the revenue from those services, which would – further, I guess, incentivize them to expand. So now these talks again are of Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Stanford going to the Big Ten. And then it also brought up Utah, Colorado, and the Arizona schools going to the Big 12. Do you like a scenario like that? Do you like that Utah and these other schools would end up in the Big 12? And then it kind of forces a rivalry, you know, forces people to get along in the sandbox and have to play each other?
I don't like it. I don't like the idea of super conference. Here's the other thing, too, that like the SEC, like Texas A&M and Georgia have like hardly played each other because there's so many teams down there. And because they play their division opponents every year, you don't get to rotate through and have these great conference matchups that people would love to see because there's so many teams that even get worse. I get it from a money perspective, but man, if Oregon or Washington could be in the college football playoff five times a decade, I don't know. I'd have a hard time giving that up, but money is ruining the sport. There's no other way to put it. And I'm just crossing my fingers that the expanded playoff will save it a little bit. But you know, it's I don't want to see it. I want to see the Pac-12, Pac-10, whatever it ends up being. I want to see that survive. I don't want conferences to go to 20 plus teams, and because yeah, they'd make a lot of money. But USC and Ohio State are going to play each other like what, once, twice a decade? Like that, you could do that already with just non-conference scheduling. So I hope that doesn't come to pass. I don't want to see it. Do you? No. I think you would want the Pac-12 to survive, right?
Well, sure, if the Pac-12 can survive, but if not, you know, I love the Utah BYU rivalry, and I love it when it means something. You know, that's when a rivalry is exciting, when you got two teams vying for a chance to win a conference championship and go to the college football playoffs. Or you have an opportunity to spoil someone's chance to do that. That's what rivalries mean to me. And I think that's the bugaboo right now with this rivalry, is that, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean what it used to mean. And having these teams play each other, and, you know, and even if you could put it in a clause, you know, there, because there's some discussion about that, keeping some natural rivalry games intact all the time, I think, you know, would be something that would be appealing to a lot of people. So I'm actually in favor of it.
Interesting. Well, from the Big 12's perspective, it's a no-brainer, because if they can add some quality teams like Utah, Arizona schools, which
and Colorado,
are, you know, and Colorado, that would strengthen the conference because you'd be adding more quality teams. And so I think it makes sense for the Big 12. I think the Big 12 would love to do it, but I just like the idea of the original conferences. And I know that that's a pipe dream, but if we could end it where it is now, with the expanded playoff, that's what I would prefer. And yeah, you wouldn't have BYU and Utah battling for a conference championship, but I don't know why you can't play that game every year anyways. especially with the incentive that, hey, the loser, it's not over for them. But, you know, I don't see that happening, unfortunately, but that's what I would like to see happen.
I think the line on this game tomorrow night is 24 points, right? It's a big one. And I don't know if that's more, I think it's what's been more surprising this year that, you know, Utah State having the reverse turnaround from last year has to be one of the bigger things that shocks, I think, that we've had here locally.
It's stunning, especially offensively. You look at Logan Bonner's numbers these past 2 weeks. He had a game where he threw below 40% completion against Weber State. I mean, that's wild. This guy was, what was he, 5 in the 60 for 60? I thought that was a little bit high, but you know, he was definitely a good college quarterback last year, and he's had 8 interceptions in the past 2 weeks. So their drop off on offense has been the biggest shocker to me. They were a dang good offense last year, and they're just a bad offense right now. So that's been one of the bigger surprises in college football.
Matt Biamonte, you can hear him on Cougar Sports Saturday on Saturdays on KSL News Radio. And, of course, tomorrow, BYU versus Utah State, he's going to be wearing a Cowboy outfit up in the press box. So, Matt, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll see you tomorrow, Cowboy.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Right, have a good one, guys.
All right, there's Matt. That's going to be interesting to see how...
If I owe him dinner at Volter's, I'll pay him dinner.
Can
That's
I come?
A true thing.
Can I come? I'll pay for my own dinner.
I don't care.
I feel like we need to go. Dinner. Have you been to Volter's, though?
Yeah.
Jeremy, it's a classy place.
Yeah. I think we should do it.
Oh, you're saying we should. Hey, Jeremy's got a good idea. Have Nate pay for it and go unrivaled team building.
We probably shouldn't say that over the air, but yeah.
No, I'm laying the groundwork and then saying, we talked about it on the air.
I got to email him, so maybe I'll get this clip just in case.
Sure. Yeah, you've got to email
I'm feeling
him.
A little isolated in my workspace and a little uncomfortable, I think.
We had some team building. We want to reach across aisles with KSL News Radio. Matt's going to come with us. Yeah, see? That's good. Plus, with Walter passing away recently, be a good way to honor him.
Yeah.
Us going there. All right. We'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go on the program when we continue. We've got a lot to chat about here. Oregon State head coach Jonathan Smith talking about playing Utah this week. We'll roll out some of his audio from his press conference and get you ready for Utah and Oregon State coming up on Saturday. All right, more to go. Stay right here with us. Unravel continues 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.